Okay, so anyone who knows me, and honestly, at this point, anyone who listens to the podcast, because I guess we've just gotten real close around here, knows that I do not wear bras. And like, that's not some sort of an over-exaggeration. You can ask any of my friends. I truly do not ever wear bras. However, there have recently been some circumstances where like, I just have to. I've been saying yes to more things. I feel like we've been going to more events and there are just some outfits. I got to do it. And when I tell you, I have finally found a bra that makes wearing one bearable. Like, I'm never going to be an everyday bra wearer. It's not in the cards for me. But when I have to, the only bras I can wear are Skims, which I'll get into the specific ones in a second. But we all know this comes as no surprise. Like, I have been an OG diehard Skims fan since day one. I am a fan of every single product they make. You know the way I feel about the underwear, the clothes, all of it. But now adding bras to the mix, specifically the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, because you guys know the way I feel about the Fits Everybody collection. I could talk about that for forever, but specifically the t-shirt bra, it's just so comfortable. I don't know, the straps don't dig into you. It's probably the only bra I've ever worn where when I get home, I'm not like dying to take it off, which I cannot express how massive of a feat that is for someone like me. It's just comfortable and it just does what it needs to do. And I am such a fan, which like no surprise, I love everything Skims makes, but here to confirm the bras are as good as you would think that they are. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A through 46H. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Hi guys, I'm Emma.
And I'm Julie.
And welcome to another episode of our Kardashian bonus show. Hey, Jewel.
Hi, kid.
It's the longest we've been apart in, what, 4 days?
I can't say I'm happy about it.
Okay, so let me tell you guys what's going on, because obviously the schedule is a little bit different this week. As you know, we didn't have a Monday episode. We took off Monday. We were traveling. But we figured, you know, let's, of course, keep the Kardashian episode and the Bravo episode. And so we thought we had it all figured out. We wake up at 6 a.m. before our flight. We record it. We get it done. We send it to our producer. And we're listening back to the first round on the way to the airport. And we're like, honestly, I don't know about you. In my mind, I felt like we were on such good time because we were going to get it up earlier than normal, even though we were on vacation. Yes? Are we on the same page thus far?
Yeah, I felt really overly confident about the episode.
A little too confident. So we're listening on our way to the airport and we turn to each other and we were like, why are we whispering? And we realized we were recording it at like 6 a.m. and I was in a room by myself, but I think I was just concerned about my surroundings and Isabel was sleeping next to Julie. And so we were like, we can't put this out because we sound so low energy. And I feel like it's going to sound like we're not into it, which wasn't the case at all. We just felt like we had to be super quiet because it was 6 a.m. in a hotel room.
Which I don't regret that decision. I think it's better than the alternative of like being this level at 6 o'clock in the morning in a hotel room where obviously the walls are thin. A sleeping Isabel wasn't my main concern, although I do think in retrospect, I was trying to be respectful of that situation as well. But you know what? We're here now. We figured it out. All is well.
All is well that ends well. But in case anybody's wondering why this episode's coming out on Friday and Bravo on Saturday instead of the normal Thursday-Friday schedule, this is why. We just couldn't, you know how we are, like we just could not put out something that, it sounded, can I tell you why it was upsetting to me? Not that this matters, but quickly.
Was it because I listened to it first and didn't realize?
No. I'm saying because I felt like we sounded lazy and that's not something I'm okay with because that really wasn't the case. You know, if anything, I felt like we were hyped to do it.
No, totally. Like when I listened back, I was like, wow, we sound so much more miserable than we actually were in the moment because it was funny because when we woke up, I know this is like sort of a long-winded explanation of what happened, but when we woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, I was like, wow, I'm so happy to be doing this in the morning and getting it done and having it done before we leave. So I felt really good about the episode. So when I listened back and we sounded like we were literally like recording it at gunpoint, I was like, this is not okay.
No. And you know that it's that we were correct when even our producer was like, yeah, I mean, you guys definitely sound a little low energy. And we're like, okay, you know what? Fuck this. I'd rather it be 24 hours later than this bullshit.
That's how I felt too.
Before we get into the episode, the one other thing that I want to say is I know right now we release our regular episode on Mondays, Kardashian on Thursday and Bravo on Friday. We were thinking though, and of course this is all subject to change with the Hulu show. Tell me what you guys think. Obviously, feel free to DM us. we feel like maybe we should switch Bravo to Thursday and Kardashians to Friday because the Bravo shows come out on Sundays and Wednesdays as of right now. So it may just be better. Tell us what you think. I don't know, but that was just something that we had thought of and wanted your guys' feedback on, right? Don't you kind of think that makes more sense?
I think it does.
Okay, so we're doing both episodes 4 and 5. Neither of them are really standalone episodes. We're not going to go scene by scene, but plenty in each to discuss. And in the first one, one of the major plot lines is Courtney is getting increasingly frustrated with Scott's lack of jealousy. And it kind of starts, she's in this polo lesson, she's on the horse with this guy, and, you know, because he's teaching her, he's kind of like touching her. And Scott is not reacting. He's right there, but he isn't really saying anything. And Courtney is getting really frustrated that he's not getting jealous, which we'll get more into, but just general kind of top level thoughts. It's so interesting because now I feel like Courtney would look at this and so clearly say, this is such a toxic display of love. Like, by no means is jealousy synonymous with caring, but she was kind of so hooked into that cycle at this moment.
Right. Like, at this point, she's seeking out the toxicity, because what Scott was actually doing here was, like, quote unquote, correct. It's not like he wasn't paying attention to her. It's not like she was taking part of this polo lesson and riding with this instructor who's being maybe a little touchy, and he's just not paying any attention at all. He was kind of doing the respectful thing and the quote good boyfriend thing by cheering her on, taking videos of her, showing Mason his mom and what she was doing. Like, the fact that there was no jealousy there in terms of like, wow, I can't believe this guy is like touching my girlfriend like this and I'm never going to allow this to happen. Like, that was the healthy part of it. The way Scott was in this moment was exactly as he should be. And the fact that Courtney was seeking out toxicity in their relationship and trying to actually create a problem when there so clearly wasn't one is so telling about their relationship as a whole and how it functioned.
Oh, totally. And also not just with them specifically, because even when she's in Dash and she's telling the employees about this, they are so on her page. Actually, everybody that she told was so in agreement with her. And they're saying, you know, yeah, when my boyfriend doesn't get mad, that's when there's an issue. And so she was constantly just being encouraged that she should get angry, which, as you see in this episode, if you guys remember last season, she had a fling with that woman, Jackie, and she brings Jackie back and they kind of, you know, do this whole setup in the hot tub to get Scott jealous. It ends up turning terribly. He like gets naked. Courtney gets mad. The whole thing is a disaster. But it's really interesting to see how she was going to push it as far as possible because she needed that in order for him to almost like prove his dedication in a way.
Right. Going back to something you said a minute ago about the Dash Girls, a really funny side plot of every single episode that I'm now just putting together is like the Dash Girls having their own really terrible experiences with men, clearly, and then like only bringing it up once one of them has an issue and no one paying attention to it. It's like this episode. Yeah, no, if my boyfriend doesn't react and get jealous, like I get so upset. The last episode, like, you know, when men apologize, it really is such a big deal. And it's like, are the Dash Girls okay?
Julie, it is such a good point. We need to like maybe a group therapy session, maybe once every 3 episodes, just to check in, you know?
Yeah, they were clearly like not good. But going back to Courtney and Scott and the whole thing there with her bringing Jackie in and trying to make him jealous, it just, you know, it's one thing for Courtney and their relationship to kind of get upset when there's a lack of that toxicity, as we were saying, that lack of jealousy. It's something, you know, it's one thing for Courtney to maybe get a little upset that she's not getting the reaction out of Scott she wants. But the whole issue in their relationship can literally be boiled down to the fact that Courtney then takes it beyond that, that she then pushes to the point where it all goes downhill, it all goes to shit. And obviously Scott then shows his example of why they didn't work is because he just doesn't know where the line is either.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's like really careful what you wish for here, because his immaturity level kind of skyrockets at the exact same time that she's putting on this whole act, you know, whereas if they both could just operate as they were, things would be totally fine.
Right.
The other thing, which we really see more of in the next episode, and honestly, we don't even get introduced to this until kind of the end of this episode, but what was also going on with Courtney was that she wasn't feeling that confident in her skin and her body at this current moment. And so that's another reason, which again, we don't know this in the beginning of the episode, but we definitely see it towards the end and in the next one, that she was getting additionally upset because she felt like it was directly correlated to the way that she felt about her body, which so clearly isn't the case. You see at the end, Scott say like, I've never been more attracted to you than I am watching you raise our son. But clearly it was a lot more internal than really anything to do with what Scott was or wasn't doing.
Oh, absolutely. And Scott does do a good job in this episode of really making her feel that way and feel understood. I think in the next episode, when she's more outwardly struggling with it, he probably could have stepped in a little more. Not that he was doing anything necessarily wrong, but I think he could have done a little more to really show that. But in this episode, I was really like, I felt like he was telling Courtney not only what she needed to hear in that moment, but genuinely what he felt.
Oh, totally. I actually truly believe that he had never been more in love with her than directly after Mason was born.
Right. I mean, yeah. Listen, we're about to go downhill with Scott, so we can only give him so much credit. But like we've been saying, watching these episodes back, we know we're so close to downhill that we just have to hold on to the good Scott moments and really give credit where credit's due with them.
Oh, yeah. We are savoring the good Scott moments is actually exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
The second plot line here focuses around Chloe. She's back in LA seeing Lamar, and you know, obviously she's so happy to be with him, but keep in mind, Rob is living with them. And for Lamar, it's like the best thing ever because he was brought up an only child. He always wanted siblings, specifically a brother. So all of a sudden he's living in his dream home with his dream girl. And also there's like a built-in buddy that he can play with. He was literally like a little kid, I feel like.
It totally was. To watch Lamar have that brotherly relationship was such an important part of Chloe and Lamar in general. Like, literally, their spinoff show could have been Chloe, Lamar, and Rob, and it would have made absolute sense. And to watch Lamar get a brother out of Rob and really embrace that relationship, you were just so happy for both of them for that short period of time until obviously things really went downhill with Lamar. And that's something we talk about often, especially in terms of Rob, where it's like, for Rob to have lost that figure in his life was so damaging for him. And obviously, as it should be, the focus is so much on Chloe and her, the aftermath of that relationship for her. But that was a really traumatic experience for Rob. And so much of that time period and so much of what Chloe and Lamar went through, Rob was the third character for.
No, absolutely. And especially after losing his father, which was the other most prominent male figure in his life, I really do think that everything that went down with Lamar felt like a death. And I recognize, you know, this, it was a near-death experience, but I'm more so talking about just the lack of a relationship, which, might I add, like, I would be incredibly curious to know if there is any communication still there between Rob and Lamar. I don't think we've ever gotten a direct answer to that.
I was just about to ask you that, and I don't know if this is a hot take, but I really wouldn't be surprised if there was some communication there still.
I feel weird about this because I don't have a gut feeling, which always makes me feel unsettled, but I literally don't know. Like, if you had two people, one on my right, one on my left, and they were both giving me convincing arguments, I think I could be swayed one way or another. I really don't know.
So let me just tell you what my thought process is here, is that I think that there was a period of time, obviously, where Rob and Lamar didn't speak. I think Rob was hurt both for Chloe and for himself, because I think Rob really considered himself to be such a central figure for Lamar. And I think, of course, there's that element of betrayal that Rob felt as well, in terms of like, how are you going to do this to my sister? But how are you going to do this to me? How am I not enough of a brotherly figure for you to prevent all of this from happening? Obviously, you can't think logically like that, because it's just, you know, when you're somebody who goes through something like this, it's not about the people around you. It's just about yourself. Okay. But I do think that having Lamar had gone through that near-death experience, I think Lamar maybe being out on the other side of it now and seemingly in good health and, you know, always saying really positive things about the family, I could see Rob kind of seeking out that relationship again. I could see them seeking out each other, you know, both mutually, Lamar kind of as a way to have a connection to the family and to reignite a relationship that was so close to him. And Rob to kind of have somebody that's like, I saw you at your worst. You kind of saw me at the beginning of my worst. Like, let's be that person for each other now that we both feel like maybe we're on the other side of it. And I could so see that relationship existing, maybe not in its full form, but a call every so often, a text exchange every so often, just a check-in at the very least. I would not be surprised about it at all.
You know, like I said, that was a really convincing argument. You were the person on my right. I was nodding along the entire time. And to add on to that, it would be really different if Lamar was the ex of any of the other siblings, specifically Courtney. But I think him being Chloe's ex, the likelihood is significantly higher that he could maintain a relationship and it wouldn't cause any issues. Like, if he wanted that, even if, like you said, it was, you know, kind of infrequent, I think Chloe would be more than happy to accept that and probably honestly encouraging of it.
My other reason that I think it would be possible, which isn't as kind of a reason, but I still think has some validity to it, is that a conversation, again, that we have often within the Kardashian family is that real ability to forgive, and specifically forgive the men in their lives. And something that Rob always exhibited, in my opinion, was the combination of that and men not holding men accountable. That was something that Rob always, I felt, really exhibited in terms of his own behavior. So I could see him reigniting a friendship with Lamar or holding on to a friendship with Lamar for the sole purpose of just the ability to forgive and move on and not hold as much accountability as you would want from your brother. Again, that's an assumption, or like, I can't say that that's based in an overwhelming amount of facts, but it is just a vibe I get.
And again, I think that that's like a very, very fair point. I really do. That's what I'm saying. The more you're talking, the more I'm feeling a little bit more convinced. But who knows? I mean, when you watch these episodes, like what really went down in this particular episode is that Chloe and Lamar are kind of at odds here, because Chloe feels that there's no boundaries with Rob. Lamar is kind of giving into that because he's definitely not creating boundaries. He loves Rob being there constantly. And so it's kind of one of their first marital issues, because Chloe's like, we need to have a united front. It was almost as if they were dealing with their child, you know? And it all really comes to a head when they come back from dinner and Rob is in their room with a woman. They're not hooking up or anything, but they're hanging out in Chloe's bedroom. There's like a huge fit. She yells at Rob. She yells to get the woman out, this whole thing. And I wanted to pinpoint this one line. One of the things she says in her confessional is, this girl could take a picture in our bed and say she's sleeping with Lamar. Which, the reason I say that is because, to me, that was a very clear acknowledgement of like, okay, we recognize our place in fame right now. Whereas 2 seasons ago, I don't think that they're thinking that headlines are going to run like that about their family. Whereas now they recognize they're media targets. She's married to a very famous Lakers player. And the likelihood of that is honestly high.
Right. I think that was such a fair point. It kind of took me back hearing her say that. And I couldn't tell whether it took me back because it felt like a lot of foreshadowing, not purposeful in my opinion, but definitely foreshadowing. Or if it took me back because it was that acknowledgement of like, wow, we've gotten to a level of fame where people will actually seek out the ability to damage and hurt us. And that was surprising. That switch was surprising. And obviously we so recognize that now. And, you know, had they said it in 2020, 2021, we wouldn't even bat an eye at that because it's so true. You never know what could happen. You would never want a stranger in someone's bedroom like that, you know, for the possibility of what could happen. Back then, I don't think that we thought that way about them. And to hear them really think about themselves in that way for almost the first time kind of was just such an interesting switch, especially for Chloe, who obviously viewed herself as kind of different than the rest of the family, or specifically different than Kim.
Right. It wasn't like Kim was saying that. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, that struck me. And also, this is such a side note, but you know what it made me think of? I don't think you're going to guess it, but you want to try?
You're giving me like no clues.
Okay.
So I'm just going to let you explain it and then give like a resounding, oh my God, yes, once you're done.
Okay. So when she said that, I thought back to when Tana Mojo was first hooking up with Jake Paul, way before they ever actually started dating, way before the fake wedding and all of that. And the way that fans found out about it was that she had posted either an Insta story or a Snapchat in his bed. And it was like a selfie, but in the very, very top corner, you could see his headboard, and people found out immediately. And honestly, I think Tana is the most honest in terms of like, she'll do anything for clout. So I think she would have said if she did that purposely thinking that people would have picked up on it. I genuinely think she didn't think that like 1/4 of an inch of a headboard was recognizable. But that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that line. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And if I had gotten that out of context with no clues and had said that to you, I want you to send me away somewhere.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. So I don't know if you guys suffer from allergies, but kind of a new development in my life is that I apparently do. I didn't used to, but in the last few years, I've noticed specifically as the seasons change that I start to have allergies. And to me, there is nothing more uncomfortable than that feeling of nasal congestion. Like you just don't feel like yourself. And I was really looking for something that worked because so much of this stuff doesn't work. And I found Astepro to be really helpful. So I think it could be for you too if you deal with this kind of stuff. So Astepro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray, and it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray, and Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. By the way, that 30 minutes thing is real, and for me to have relief in 30 minutes is just a game changer. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Anything else from this episode, really?
I think that was it.
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly the real thing to me here, nothing to do with Rob. It was a lot more just about watching Chloe and Lamar tackle this together because, like I said, it was really one of their first marital issues. As we talked about, they have been in the honeymoon phase this entire time and they still are. But this was something where Chloe was not backing down and she needed Lamar to kind of side with her and, like, you know, like I said, come up with a united front, which she ended up kind of doing.
I'm happy that you mentioned how just the Chloe and Lamar element taking Rob out for a second, because, you know, you have the scene where they're in the bathtub and that image was everywhere. The one of her putting bubbles on his head and then they're in the closet in towels and they're kissing and he's so sweetly like kissing her shoulder. And just watching them, you know, I remember how much fun they had together and I always remember how much I loved them as a couple, especially in the very early days. I kind of sometimes forget just like that raw magnetic sexual energy between the two of them, because we don't often see that with Chloe anymore.
We really don't. And it's so true. That bathtub scene is etched in my mind forever. I mean, there's that whole conversation of like, was Chloe significantly more affectionate with Lamar? Did we just see more of it? Because as the years went on and she got more burned, she was less willing to be that affectionate on camera. Or were her, you know, relationships after Lamar just different? Did she change? Like, there are so many different things which we don't necessarily have the answers to. But yes, I have yet to witness Chloe have this magnetic of an attraction with somebody she's with. Again, that's just in terms of what she put out there. I'm not saying it didn't exist.
I think it's all the above. Again, this is a conversation that we were having last week or a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about just the Courtney and Travis and the way they are with each other and how all we want is for Chloe specifically to have that level of love and that level of comfort with another person.
Oh, of course. And I don't know. It's really hard now because, like, obviously hindsight is 2020. And so for us to say, you know, she never fully had that with Tristan, I don't know. That's not fair to say. I will just say that we never witnessed it in the way we witnessed it with Lamar. But I personally feel, I don't know if she was not like that in her relationships. I really think it had a lot to do with not wanting to put that on the show in the way that she did. You may disagree, though, and like think that it's hard to turn it off for the camera. I just feel like, not that she was not real on camera. I think she was always real on camera. I just think she was a little bit less willing to put her relationships out there in the same way.
I think that's possible. I mean, listen, I think it's so much more about the internal switch that she had and the fact that she just changed. And the cameras were kind of a byproduct of that. And maybe they were given more thought than she would have given in the past. But again, that just kind of goes into the whole fact that internally and mentally, there was a switch that changed. But I don't think you're necessarily wrong about the cameras. I think it all plays into each other. But yeah, I think it's so much more about just the natural guard she put up for herself after that relationship.
And also, by the way, you know, the age thing factors into it. Like, I don't know if this would be classified as young love. She was obviously in her 20s. It wasn't like she was a teenager, but in a lot of ways she operated as if she was, you know, a high school couple, like dating the quarterback is kind of the vibe. And so I do think that just the maturity, and also as their lives got more complicated, things were just in some ways more blissful, but in a lot of ways less blissful because relationships came with so much more baggage in a way.
Yeah. I mean, listen, she is so young here. Like, yeah, she's in her 20s, but again, like, you and I sitting here in our 20s, that's fucking young to me. To be married at this age is young. And for them, it was just like, there wasn't a care in the world. Like, their biggest logistical thing that they were figuring out at this time was being apart for 5 days. Remember, she says that in the beginning. She's so upset about having to be apart from him. And then she lays it all out for us. And she's like, well, I actually figured out the longest I have to be apart from Lamar is 5 days. And we were like, what are you so concerned about then? Like, there was no worries. All they were is young and in love. And Lamar had his career and she had the show and her career. And they didn't have stressors at this time, especially the early, early days. And all they had to do was just be young and in love together. And that showed so much. Obviously, as Chloe got older and she had different factors to deal with, not just like in terms of being hurt by relationships, just life. The way she's going to act is obviously going to be different. I just think that you saw Chloe in just the rawest, truest form of her young self here.
Totally, totally. She was really not concerned with, this is a huge thing. She was not concerned with how stupid she could potentially look. You know what I mean? She was operating so in the moment. She was really living in the present. And I know that it's something she's spoken about recently, striving to do. But I think naturally, based on everything that has happened to her in combination with the level of fame that they've reached, sometimes living in the present and not thinking about things in terms of potential consequences and like a potential PR nightmare is really difficult. Right now, even though she was recognizing the level of fame they were growing to, aka the comment she made about the girl in the bed, like, it still had a real sense of being in the moment.
Yeah, totally.
So I know we're all kind of operating at a different skill level when it comes to makeup. Like, I have some friends who they do their makeup and it looks like they got it professionally done. I have others who know nothing about any products. And then I would say I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, by no means am I very skilled, but I think I can hold my own. And in terms of my everyday, I'm just doing mascara, lip gloss, and maybe a little bit of highlighter on my inner corner. So if I'm only using a few products, I need them to be excellent. And I've recently been very into the Thrive Cosmetics mascara, which I'll tell you about in a second. But just in general, a note on the company. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive, which I just love knowing that I'm buying from a company that does that. And in terms of their mascara, so it's the Liquid Lash Extensions mascara. You guys have seen that. It's the viral turquoise tube. I've saw it all over social media before I ever started using it. And it's a unique formula that creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. It's also super easy to remove. So it slides right off with warm water. It doesn't leave smudges. And the ingredients are really nourishing. So they support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. It really just gets the job done. Like, you will see what I mean when you try it. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/CBC. That's thrivecosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/CBC for 10% off your first order. So the next episode, two major plot lines. The first is Chloe is now back in Miami. She's kind of miserable for two reasons. One, leaving Lamar. And second of all, Courtney hasn't been in the best mood recently, and Chloe's really there to kind of help her. But do you think a fair thing to say is that Courtney wasn't necessarily the most welcoming or grateful presence at the moment?
I would say that's pretty fair.
Yeah. And then the second plot line is that Courtney is doing this Life and Style photo shoot. And, you know, she had just given birth to Mason, and really most of the episode focuses around how she does not feel comfortable in her own body. And she's kind of getting relatively obsessive. I honestly should probably put a trigger warning here just for eating disorders or overexercising, because it was kind of bordering that in terms of her approach here. And, you know, there's so much to dissect here. Obviously, I know we both probably have a lot of thoughts, but the first thing I want to say is that clearly she just had a child, right? And so we're sitting here saying, like, that is the most miraculous thing your body can ever do. And who is focusing on the 5 pounds you may have gained in your stomach? However, it just goes to show, like, it doesn't matter what anybody around you is saying or other people's perception, because it's solely what goes on in your mind. And when she's looking in the mirror, she is not happy, and she can't see it in a greater context. She's not looking at it as though, I literally just birthed a child out of me and gave somebody the gift of life. And just to watch her kind of torture herself, I found to be really difficult.
Yeah, it was really difficult. And it was a combination of two things. I think so much of it was internal in terms of, and I'm sure there are so many women who have gone through this and continue to go through this, which is just looking at your body and noticing that difference, and whether it's from a baby or something else, and just saying like, wow, I can see my body is different. And that's a really hard thing to adjust to. And, you know, to focus on that instead of like, wow, my body just went through something so miraculous. And like, what an amazing thing that my body was able to do this. I think that it's natural a lot of the times, unfortunately, to really focus on the negative aspects that has happened. And a lot of people do really struggle with that. So I think that was one example. I think the second thing that was going on, which could have been equally as draining for her, is the fact that she did have this shoot coming up and she knows how people are going to react to her. She's seen the way people have reacted to other celebrities at this time, to other members of her family at this time. And I think she really knew and was really focused on the fact like, if I don't look how I want to look for this shoot, people are not going to be kind about it. And as unkind as I'm being to myself right now, I also can't deal with external factors like that right now either.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. As much as, like I said, we sit here and we can very clearly recognize how disordered this behavior was, she wasn't wrong in the sense that people were this vicious, especially at this time. And so if she got on the cover and her body looked obviously a little bit different because it naturally did, she just had a child, she's right. Could you imagine the headlines? Like, that is a real thing that would happen. And so, yes, she was not fully based in reality based on her perception of herself. However, she was pretty based in reality in terms of the potential negative backlash.
Right. And we were talking in that last episode about how when Courtney was struggling with the fact that she was getting a more family-focused car rather than a sports car, we were saying like, wow, that's kind of the first and only time that we really saw Courtney struggle with the idea of this new life as a mom, quote unquote. Like, it was the only time where we saw her kind of question what is her life like now, because she always seemed from the moment Mason was born that like this was just her calling. And after that car thing and the wanting to go out thing, we both said, you know, it didn't really happen again after that. But I think the struggles with her body and the coming to terms with that was a separate plot to that, that was like, wow, she's found her calling. She's so thrilled to be a mom. She's still struggling with the things that come along with that in a separate sense. So you kind of saw her going through that this week, which was a little bit different than the struggle she was going through previously, but kind of all connected.
Absolutely. And also, you know, I have to say, I don't know if this will resonate with you or anybody listening, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain it that well, but clearly the Kardashians are very focused on vanity. And I don't say that negatively. I think it's just an objective fact. But I feel like with Courtney specifically, as compared to the rest of them, a lot of the things that she does in terms of her commitment to, you know, health and what she puts in her body, to me, it has always come across as less vanity focused, or like that isn't the sole intention, because she's always been like this when it came to just healthy eating and caring about the products and organic and all of those types of things. And I don't know if that's fair to say. I'm not saying she doesn't care about the vanity aspect and that there is no superficiality, but this Courtney is like so far from how I would ever envision her to operate now. Whereas honestly, I could see a lot of the other ones, unfortunately, still talking to themselves in this way before a shoot. Whereas for some reason in my mind, I feel like Courtney has graduated from that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It does feel different with Courtney. I don't know if that's a hot take and people will disagree, because you can't ignore the conversations that people have in regard to all of the Kardashians in terms of the body standards and, you know, the unrealistic expectations that they've set out, and the fact that, you know, sometimes they're not overly clear with the fact that they have chefs and trainers and nutritionists and people just kind of round the clock dedicated to that part of their lives in terms of their fitness and their health and even their weight loss. But it has always felt a little bit different with Courtney, maybe because it's felt a little bit more transparent as well, where it's like, this is what I'm putting in my body. These are my recipes. This is how often I'm working out. This is who I'm working out with. Like, it does sometimes feel a little bit different. And also it does feel more, you know, health focused rather than weight focused. And, you know, that was one of the big things also with her dating Travis, is as a result of Travis's near-death experience with the plane crash, he also is really focused on his health and what goes into his body and making sure that he is living his absolute healthiest life. So when they got together, I saw so many people saying like, wow, this makes so much sense just from a lifestyle perspective.
Right. Which is something that is so important to Courtney and something that she, I think, has voiced a lot of frustration with, not just in romantic partners, but also with family members. Like, she really wants everyone around her to try to, and maybe to a fault, you know, to try to adopt some of the quote healthy practices or quote organic practices that she does. Think about watching Addison's vlog, for example, with Harry Hudson. Like, she brings these people in and then she gets them on her health kick. And so I totally think that there's a lot of legitimacy to the Travis element of like how that is more important to her than it is to maybe your average person.
Right. It is. It's an interesting conversation. I don't know if everyone will agree with the Courtney element of what we're saying, but I do think there's absolutely an argument to be made for it.
I also have to say, on a more personal note for a second, that when I was watching this episode, I felt like my therapy really worked, because I clearly have never had a child, but I have been in that position of just obsessively looking at yourself in the mirror, grabbing those last 3 pounds of fat, working out twice a day on an empty stomach, you know, just being so focused in a way that I think is not really healthy at all. And I was able to watch this episode and both put myself in her shoes in the sense that I can really relate, and then also recognize at the same time kind of how removed I now am from that thinking. And it really felt good, because, you know, I don't want to use the word triggered lightly, but I do think that me watching this maybe 4 years ago probably would have been a little bit triggered, honestly. And I felt as though I was watching it and it was completely separate from me, even though I could relate. And that was a really good feeling and something that I am very grateful to my therapist for, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Like, that really is incredible. And I'm sure that a lot of people had a lot of different feelings watching this episode, because it was triggering to watch Courtney kind of go through that, partly because you can put yourself in her shoes, or you want to avoid putting yourself in her shoes. And also because you kind of want to just grab her and say, like, are you out of your mind?
Well, I really wanted to touch on this line from Chloe. They're looking in the mirror and Courtney's like, you know, grabbing at every little inch of her fat. And Chloe, in her confessional, again, not in the moment, but in her confessional, she says, quote, I have my own issues with my body and how I have to psych myself up every day to even stand around my sisters. And now I'm having maybe the skinniest sister, Courtney, looking in the mirror telling me I'm so fat. Which is really interesting, one, because it's one of the only times we hear Chloe, at least this early on, talk about that. She, in more recent years, has said that it's been a source of insecurity, but she never really spoke about it in that way in the earlier seasons, first of all. Second of all, and this is obvious now, I would have never thought this watching it the first time, the entire discourse here is like very fat phobic in nature, right? Because like the idea of being quote fat is the worst thing ever. It's a thing that they're dreading more than anything. And like, it just is running rampant through this entire conversation for another day, but I just do want to acknowledge that. And then third of all, it feeds into a conversation that, you know, we talk about all the time in terms of like limiting or not limiting what you say about yourself, even if it's entirely negative self-talk based on who is around you, and how that can actually be really triggering to the people around you. Again, they're sisters. It was different. I'm not calling them out, but I'm just saying what was happening to Chloe here is very similar to that concept we talk about a lot of like, okay, she's saying that about herself. How do you think I feel? And again, Chloe didn't make it about herself, but in her mind, she clearly was.
Right. That's an amazing point. The thing with Chloe here is that I was happy she didn't say it to Courtney, because I think that when you're somebody and you're struggling with your own body image, the comparison to other people, it doesn't do it. It doesn't work for somebody to say, well, look at what I look like. It doesn't matter. It's so internal. And it's like, I can understand, you know, the want to do that and the desire to say like, well, look how you look in comparison to how I look. Like, don't you feel so good about yourself? And what that does is two things. A, you're bringing yourself down by trying to point out like looking quote worse when you don't, you just have a different body. And B, when you're struggling and it's all about you, that other person doesn't exist. It's not about them. So I was happy for Chloe to be able to express that frustration, because I think it was important for her to say that and really be able to come to terms with those words and talk about the way that that felt and let people know that that was something that did upset her. but be able to do it in a way that didn't take away from what Courtney was struggling with in the moment, because it was a struggle for her.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The comparison thing, if you're a Courtney, I don't care who is telling you how great you look, it just doesn't matter. And especially, like you said, with the comparison argument. And on top of that, I know this isn't really the point of what you were saying, but I feel like this is an example where having the confessionals is actually so therapeutic for them. Like, I don't know if Chloe would have necessarily thought about that moment when Courtney said that when they were looking in the mirror and would have voiced how it made her feel. She definitely wasn't going to say it to Courtney. I don't think she was going to, you know, say it to Lamar or Scott or call up Chris. And so I think that that was probably cathartic for her.
Yeah, I think a lot of their confessionals are cathartic for them. I mean, it depends. It's kind of twofold, because sometimes it's like they have to relive something that they don't want to relive. And then other times they can process feelings. And although it's kind of a short snippet, they can process feelings that maybe they wouldn't have unless they were looking back on those moments and giving their in the moment raw thoughts on it. So yeah, I totally think that it was cathartic for Chloe to be able to do, and for her to be able to express that was probably really important to her in the moment.
People have so many different hacks for getting a good night's sleep, and it's not to say that those don't work, but I really think you cannot discount the power of just good quality sheets and how much that can transform your sleep. I told you guys about these before, but as far as I'm concerned, Boll & Branch are the best sheets on the market. And I think for me, the thing that like makes them so good is that they're really soft and luxurious while also being breathable. So they kind of work in all weather. And their signature sheets are their best seller. They come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King. I have them in the color stone. I have them in the color mineral. I have the waffle blanket. I have so many things from this company. Everything is just quality. And their sheets are made with the finest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins. Also, they said this, but I didn't really get it until I started using the sheets. They do get softer with every wash, and you'll see that. I've gotten these as gifts for so many people, and every single person has been a repeat customer. And there's a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. And if you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code CBC at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code CBC. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Completely. And, you know, this part of the episode kind of concludes with Courtney passing out. She's running on an empty stomach. She passes out. She gets in the ambulance. She only ended up needing an IV drip, but it was definitely a harsh realization for her and almost a blessing in disguise, because it kind of got her to snap out of it and just realize that the way she was going about this was completely flawed. But the side plot to this was that while Courtney was getting ready for the shoot, and just really in general, Chloe was helping to take care of the store, and you know, she was monitoring all of the Dash employees. And after the week, she decides to take them all out to kind of say thank you. Courtney gets back, she finds this out, and she's livid because, as we know with a few episodes ago with the Scott thing, she really wants to keep business and pleasure separate. And Chloe kind of has it, because she's like, what do you want from me? I worked at the store while you were gone. I was just trying to give the girls a night to celebrate. Like, this is ridiculous. And she ends up kind of storming off. The episode ends with her at the airport. But the real, you know, depth of this is that it highlights how their relationship is just inherently different now that Courtney is a mom and the priorities are different and Chloe's married. And watching Courtney grapple with that with Scott, even though we know how it ends and everything's fine, it was honestly sad.
I think it's sad because, and I don't think that this was happening here, but it is sad because you're kind of slowly watching their relationship change. And we're obviously watching it in retrospect of being like, wow, the relationship that we know about Courtney and Chloe now is so different than what it was. And we really loved that dynamic and loved that relationship so much. And it was such an important part of the show and the early life of the show, that to see it be different now is so heartbreaking. And to watch it in the moment kind of have that switch of like, our lives are just different now, and therefore our relationship is going to be different, was sad to watch.
It was. And obviously, you know, there are so many blessings in all of this. Like, Chloe's married to a guy that she's madly in love with. Courtney just brought a child into this world. Like, we can recognize that. But I still think, in general, not just the Kardashians, across the board, you know, as you get older and life gets more complicated, it is a little bit sad. It always is. I mean, we've experienced that just within our own families, with our friends. You know, things aren't as easy or as seamless as they used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those changes are so inevitable and so important and so great in so many ways, but they don't come without some other effects and some other side effects. And obviously, Courtney and Chloe end up working out their issues here. It's not like this one fight led to something terrible in the long run. It's just such a stark understanding of like, wow, our lives compared to a year ago are completely, completely different.
Completely. So true. I mean, we see, you know, Kim ends up coming in this next episode, which I'm sure Courtney feels like, I don't know what I had till it's gone, because I think if she's choosing between the two of them at this moment, it's Chloe any day of the week. But I like this. I feel we are really in the right era of Kardashians, and I'm having a very good time.
Except don't forget that Kim being there means that we're getting very close to the bad Scott episode, and I'm not excited for that because I do believe that it's Kim that takes Mason out of the room.
I didn't forget. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to – I think I just have blinders on. You know, I'm trying to operate like it's not there.
I hope the Hulu show is like on immediate release and comes out before we ever have to do this episode where Scott punches the mirror.
That's my dream. Can we talk to someone?
Yes, but can we talk about the fact that they started filming just real quickly?
Yeah, it's happening. Did you see, by the way, Kylie and Chris filming in the supermarket? We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, I looks like some sort of subplot gag thing going on to me.
I know, but I'm just saying, huge sign here. Kylie is on an episode. Never thought I'd see the day.
Never thought I'd see the day. I'm so, so interested how they're going to make this different, because it seems like it's going to be the exact same in terms of just the dynamic of like a day-to-day reality show filming. But there obviously has to be something that's going to separate it and set it apart. And obviously it's something that is different enough that Kylie feels like her involvement is warranted. So I am so interested to see.
I really can't wait.
Same.
Anything else you would like to mention?
No, but boy, am I glad we redid this episode.
No, we had to. I'm sorry. I know it's a day late, but we couldn't put that other one out. I just did not feel right about it. And even though I honestly, like, not to be dramatic, Julie, I got home and my dad and I looked at each other and we were like, wow, the house feels so empty, because the last time we were here, like, you and Isabel were here and there was just so much going on and we were leaving for the airport and there's all that anticipation, and now I'm just here without you and I miss you.
I can come back.
I know. Can you?
Yep. Don't tell me with a good time.
I'm going to come into the city in like 2 days.
Okay. I cannot wait.
Okay, well, we love you guys so much. Isabel and I will see you tomorrow, and we'll be back on our normal schedule next week. So thank you guys. We love you. So I'm a big fan of transparency across all aspects of life. Like, generally speaking, there's pretty much nothing I wouldn't rather be told straight up. But specifically when I'm buying something or paying for a service, I just want to know what I'm getting myself into. And oftentimes there can be so much nonsense or so much yada yada. For example, sneaky terms hidden in the fine print of contracts, or bills that randomly go up without properly alerting you, or budget airlines with cheap fares but then exorbitant fees to make up for it elsewhere. And we just should not need to be dealing with this type of yada yada in our lives. And yes, you could read every single word of every single contract, and that's one way of avoiding it. Or you can go with a trusted brand like Metro by T-Mobile that helps you to get ahead and not pull you back. That's right. You don't take yada yada from life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada, which honestly gives so much peace of mind. Like, you shouldn't have to compromise for an okay option with sacrifices when you really deserve that full transparency. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.